Hey everyone, welcome back to the Gary V audio experience. And before the podcast starts, I just want to remind you all that at the end of each podcast episode, we always read out one or two reviews from you guys in thanks for your support and your constant feedback. So I hope you spare some of your time to leave us a review after this one. We really appreciate it and we hope you enjoy this podcast.
This is the Gary V audio experience.
A couple things. My dad gave me great advice, which is your word is your bond. So I was a salesman, and so that meant embellishing / lying was part of the equation in my youth. Mm-hmm. And I've become far less of that, which is amazing, because that helps, especially in this transparent world, so thank God for that. Huge. But I always think about this. There was a super raunchy 80-year-old liquor salesman when I was 15 that came up to me and said something super inappropriate. And I don't remember what the context of why he was saying it, but the saying was, kid, you don't know what you have until you sleep with it. And it was kind of like it was a very Jersey 80-year-old mobster talk, but what he was basically saying to me is like, look, don't overthink this. Until you go through it, you won't know. For sure. And it was actually, if you think about this interview, I talked a little bit about that already, mm-hmm. right? Like, yeah. You can't overthink it up front.
Right.
Like, you just can't. Like, we're always wrong. Because, you know, there's a great Russian saying that says, man thinks and God laughs. Mm-hmm. And like, that's how I think about stuff. Like, I can have a million plans and then tomorrow a helicopter can go through the building that we're in, right? Like yesterday in New York. Like, I just, you know, that's the extreme. But in the micro business, I can be like, okay, Jason's gonna do this on this huge project in a month. And, you know, something might happen to Jason's family where he has to go home for a month. And I fucked it up. You know, right. Or like Jason will fall in love and like has to move to Ohio. Like I don't, like I, you know, I think about this stuff. Yeah. That, like as a true operator, I think about this a lot.
Right.
And it helps me be, by the way, I think if anybody's listening right now, it speaks to why I'm not super anxious. I know that I'm in control of nothing, which almost automatically by nature makes me capable of controlling everything. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's a big thing. I have trouble releasing control.
Yeah. That's super interesting to me. It's a huge vulnerability.
For sure.
Because you're not in control. The fuck are you in control of?
Literally nothing.
Would you consider yourself a spiritual person? I feel like that's a very spiritual thing.
Yes. I think over the last half decade, I'm like, mainly because I read feedback. Mainly because like, Buddhist monks email me and they're like, hey, and you know, like,
you gotta calm down.
No, like, hey, like, you may not look like it, but you're way more zenny, stoic, you know, spiritual than I'm, you know, like, and I'm like, am I? You know, like, people are like shooting, like, you're a blah, 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 and I have to like Google it and it's very calm and it's balance of experience, you know, and I'm like, wow. Yeah. So, yes, I think in hindsight, it's something I would have never said yes to 5 years ago, but I would say yes. It's so interesting to me why I deem myself happy, because I just am so grateful. Mm-hmm. Like things like the thing we got excited about of, you know, the data behind being a human being is 400 trillion to one. When you just start there and you realize, forget about the odds of like beating homelessness and like other, like, or being born in a communist country, like just actually becoming a human. Like I always make the joke of like, your mom could have had another glass of wine and like, or, you know, like, or your dad could have been late and because of a trap. Like the odds are so insane. I'm just so grateful for what I have versus what I don't have. And I think people just have all these admirations and envy and all these hard wiring things. To me, it's perspective. Just like I just genuinely believe there's always somebody that has it worse. And the problem is that's where I default into mentally and have practiced to put myself there versus somebody's got it better. High quality doesn't exist. The audience gets to decide, not you, before you put it out.
It's a great point.
I mean, to me, a meme about the NBA, like putting Steph Curry's head on a scene from a movie is high quality, as is Star Wars 9. So I think who gets to decide high quality is the audience, not you. I think that's perfection is disguised for insecurity. And so I think there's a lot there. And you know, back to being safe or protecting your brand, you're the one putting it out. Mm-hmm. It's no different than talking. Like, don't use bad words that offend people and you'll be safe. So
I don't mean safe in the sense of like non-controversial. I mean, like you try something and you try something else and it might end up that you're kind of shooting from the hip rather than being really thoughtful about it.
The alternative is the world we live in now where everybody's posting things that they know are going to work on Instagram for likes and nobody's actually being creative anymore and everybody's being a PR agent of themselves and isn't telling the truth and isn't being creative and isn't taking risks. So yeah, I'll go with one.
So then what about oversaturation? You talk about posting at 15.
You can't get oversaturation. You're not reaching. I have 6.1 million followers on Instagram. I put out reaches only a fraction of that.
What about people who are trying to grow their? So is it worth it to try to grow your social media account right now?
It depends on what you're trying to achieve in life, right? No, I think it's worth trying to amass attention so that you can achieve all the things that you'd like to achieve as a person, whether that's capitalistic or altruistic or.
Last question. A lot of people talk about morning routines, but not a lot about night routines. Yes. What's your night routine like?
I come home and I pass out.
How much do you sleep?
Really? 6 to 8 hours.
Oh, that's really? More than I would have thought.
Did you wake up in the middle and then like do things and then go back?
You'll love this. The second I fall asleep, I will not wake up until I wake up.
Would your team agree?
Oh, yeah. I think they would. Like, only because I'm probably on different time zones than you. Like when I think about it, when I'm in New York, like you get nothing between 12 and 6 a.m. You can steal my home. I'm out like a light when I go to sleep.
Yeah.
I think sleep is super important. The big thing I think people are confused about with my hustle thing is it's what I'm when I'm awake for the 18 hours. It's fucking insanity for 18 straight hours.
So like there's no relaxation time?
Have you?
Alex, am I booked every single minute?
How does that make you feel?
Amazing. Because I love what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Do you ever go on vacation?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and do you unplug for vacation or do you? Okay, that's good.
Well,
yeah, I'm like, you know, I'm going hard when I'm on the field.
Uh-huh. Right. But you can really check out when you're asleep.
Big time. On vacation and weekends.
If there's any one tiny piece of advice you can give people that could change their day, what would it be?
Call somebody that you haven't talked to in a year that you've historically enjoyed and just say, hey.
Okay.
I'm super into this one.
Yeah.
There's something very weird about this thing that I just told you. Because I say it once in a while on social, the feedback I get is extraordinary. Reconnecting with a best friend. Like,
it's true.
Humans are funny. Like, you have a best friend for 6 years, one little thing changes, like a relationship, somebody moves, somebody gets a little bit busier at work. You just get into patterns. You don't even realize why you don't hang anymore. It's all good. You still have huge love for them.
Right.
And then this one phone call leads to drinks next Thursday, which leads to a positive relationship in your life that leads to good stuff.
And the whole non-talking, you're like, I know she knows that we haven't talked in a while, but like, why isn't anyone making the effort?
Or it's in a good way. Like I don't talk to my mom as much as I used to because I don't commute to Jersey anymore. But we like almost are talking, like I'm almost talking to her right now. It's like simpatico that like, it's good. Mm-hmm. It might be very healthy. You just have a good friend. You don't talk because you're just both busy and you're both happy and you don't need to check in on that person and babysit them. It's all good. That's why I think that call could be interesting. I love feedback. I just don't I take pieces of it. Mm-hmm.
Right, you just want to decide what you agree with.
Somebody's comment on my Instagram post is based on 1 minute of a clip of a conversation. They don't have the full context of even that conversation, let alone me as a human, so I have to take it with a grain of salt. But it doesn't, just being insular doesn't mean you become delusional and become so self-centered that you can't hear feedback.
Right, for sure. You talked about just self-awareness and how like you need to be liked, but you also don't care. When did you come to that? Like, when did you come to that awareness? was that?
Probably in my late 30s when I started becoming more popular, but then it allowed me to rewind and realize, oh, that's why I didn't drink alcohol in high school. Oh, that's why I was the biggest cast clown, but my teachers liked me because I wanted to make everybody laugh and I wanted the attention, but I'm a nice person and I felt bad for the teacher if I was too disruptive. So I had this great kind of like perfect fine line of like what I think is an admirable class clown that disrupts. You know, like in my late 30s, I started doing a history lesson on myself and things became more obvious to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we always say that like it takes way, time to learn by yourself.
By the way, I apologize. By the way, I want to share this because I don't want this to all be a rah-rah session. It also allowed me to understand the reason I didn't give critical feedback and radical candor was because I don't like confrontation. I don't like negativity. And the reason I would surprise people, girls that I broke up with, employees that I fired, my shortcoming in my 20s and early 30s was predicated on the same thing. And so I had to work on that.
How did you actually work on it? Therapy?
Practice. Not therapy, but practice. Yeah. Like doing things that were uncomfortable to me, giving negative feedback along the way. I adore Alex, right? I'm looking right at her. In the last week or two, there's things that I've told her that I want done better. And I hope she would tell you that I'm not yelling. I'm like trying to deliver with honey. Like, right? Even you agree when I come with you with something, I'm almost being a little passive, right?
She has.
But I wasn't even willing to do that years ago. Right. You know?
How did you learn how to manage people and give feedback and
practice? You know, I got thrown into it early in a family business. So by 18, being the boss's son, even though I didn't have a managerial position, the stock boys in the liquor store knew who my dad was, right? And so mm-hmm. But I also was over empathetic. I did the thing I always teach kids that go into family businesses, which is walk in with humble pie. Mm-hmm. You know, just because you're fucking in the lucky sperm club and like your mom happens to have this business and you're the daughter, these people that have been working here have been working their ass off for 5 or 10 years. You don't know shit. Nobody gives a fuck about your opinion. So like, calm it down. That's what I did. That really helped me win over the 10 people that worked there. Wasn't a big company. Practice. And by the way, some of this is DNA. Like I was always a leader on teams. I was a leader in my neighborhood. I was the class president in fifth grade. Like, I like
goes it. Goes way back.
Yeah, it goes way back. As we end today's podcast, I want to give a huge shout out to the people. You know, it's so funny. People that leave reviews and written reviews of this podcast on Apple, Spotify, and all the other platforms just mean the world to me. You've taken an extra 13 to 95 seconds to show love and also give context to people of why this is a worthwhile podcast. So I appreciate that so much. And even more fun, because I think we all love a little cosign or a shout out or a little awareness, I'm gonna have the team give a couple of shout outs daily on our favorite reviews. So take it away. Which were our favorites this week?
Thanks so much, Gary. Today's amazing 5-star review reads, "Gotta give Gary the 5-star rating. This is the GOAT of entrepreneurs. He does the most to deliver solid, valuable guidance to as many people as possible and does it all in a highly entertaining and inspirational way. Genuinely thankful for this man and what he stands for and what he continues to share. Much love from Alex." Thank you so much, Alex, for that kind review. And to anybody else listening out there, if you leave us a review like Alex did, you might just get shouted out in the next episode.